Turning your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. First Samuel chapter 17. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us. And I just ask that you bless the preaching of your message, Lord. Give me the ability to preach this. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this message is Taking a Stand in Battle. 1 Samuel chapter 17, begin reading in verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shochoh and Azekah and Ephesdamim. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah, and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders, and the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. And if he be able to fight me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now understand first, in verse 1 it says that they were in Succoth, which belongeth to Judah. The Philistines were in Judah. They were in their territory. The enemy was in their own territory. And in verse 4, it says that they had a champion named Goliath. He was big. He was intimidating. He was very strong. And he defied God and his people. Verse 9 says that he wanted to enslave them. He says, if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail, which he intended on doing, against him and kill him, then ye be our servants and serve us. Now understand Israel's history. About 400 years before that, they had been in slavery to Egypt. They had heard the horror stories of old being told from generations before of how terrible the slavery was in Egypt. And then there is this big, scary, intimidating giant cursing them and their God and saying, I'm going to bring you right back into slavery. That's kind of the situation that we're facing today in this world of apostasy. We have an enemy in our territory. There's false gospels being preached all over this country today. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Christian Science, Hinduism, Buddhism, Wicca. There's so many different false gospels being preached today. And there's a new cult, and I will call it a cult, being raised up today called progressive Christianity. There is no such thing as progressive Christianity. And they preach this woke gospel today. And by the way, woke is Satan's counterfeit to being born again. Whenever a person gets born again, they become a child of God. And they live for the Lord. But whenever a person goes woke, they become a child of hell and they live for the devil and nothing but for the devil. There's a new cult on the rise called progressive Christianity. They honor trans pronouns, LGBTQ clergy, female clergy, and CRT, critical race theory. They preach and proclaim a false gospel, declaring it to be truth. And whenever a person stands in a pulpit holding a Bible and declaring a false gospel and twisting the scriptures and wresting the scriptures, he is stepping into our territory. He is stepping into our territory. Hold your place in 1 Samuel and let's go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. What does the Bible say about false Christs and false gospels? Paul, an apostle, verse 1. Not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There are many that preach a bloodless gospel. There are many who preach a works gospel. There are many that preach baptismal regeneration in water. Whenever somebody believes the gospel, they receive the Holy Spirit and become a child of God, and that is biblical salvation. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, once again he says, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. This progressive Christianity cult is all about pleasing men. It's all about letting man choose what is truth and what is not. I watched a debate on YouTube between a biblical Christian and a progressive Christian, and that progressive Christian would say this verse in this scripture is not inspired, but this verse is. According to what standard? He is basing that off of his wicked, unconverted, unsaved heart. And these people preach from a transparent pulpit that's as transparent as their wicked, evil heart. The Bible clearly states that the people who preach a false gospel are accursed. There's a judgment for someone who will proclaim another gospel. Amen. Let's go back to our scriptures. There's also a champion of this progressive Christianity, and that is the devil himself. The devil's big. The devil's intimidating. The devil's scary. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He curses our Lord, he curses his people, and he desires to defeat you and discourage you and make you ineffective for Christ. He wants the churches to lose its power, and he wants the government to control the churches. Remember, I mentioned the similarity of Israel going back into slavery. They want churches to go back into the dark ages where the government ran the church. And if government ran the church, guess which churches are still going to be standing if it was up to them? It's going to be these woke, progressive churches. They've invented terms called hate speech. They invented the term. Well, who determines what hate is? We just read in Sunday school about what love is. And everything that we define as love, they define as hate. They define as hate. We hear and study and think that it would never happen to us again. But it is possible that the devil could allow that. That could happen. That the government could get control of the churches and bring us right back into the dark ages and the churches go underground again. That's a fear. But God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and a sound mind. Amen? Not only that, there's also cowards in the fight. There are folks out there that are cowards. Let's look at verse 11. When Saul and all Israel heard those words, 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 11, when Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab the firstborn, the next unto him Aminadab, and the third Shema. And David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. So 40 days is the day is 40 is the number of trial. 40 is the number of trial. And he presented himself 40 days, and nobody would challenge him. The roughest and toughest men of Israel would not stand up to this giant. And he defied their God, and he defied their people, and insulted them to their face, and nobody would challenge him. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of his parched corn, and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hands of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army. and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. He had been cursing their God for 40 days, and nobody would challenge Goliath. But now he said something in front of a man who feared God, and David heard him. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. Unfortunately, today there are cowards. And the men of Israel said, "Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him, and the great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel." Let me tell you something. There's treasures in heaven for a person who will stand up for the cause of Christ. Amen? Amen. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, "What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel?" Watch what David says. "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" He saw this big, intimidating man as an ant compared to his God. And that's the way we got to see the devil, as a little tiny ant compared to our God. "And the people answered him after this manner, saying, 'So shall it be done to the man that killeth him.' And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard. And when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's answer was kindled against, anger was kindled against David, and he said, 'Why camest thou hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mayest see the battle.'" Have you noticed that a coward, the only time they take a stand is whenever they take a stand against the person taking a stand for what's right. That's how you mark a coward. The only time they take a stand is whenever they take a stand against a Bible-believing conservative who takes a stand on what is right and does not move from it. These people were angry at David for taking his stand. And David said in verse 29, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" That's a good question. Is there not a cause? There's a gospel to preach. There are souls to save. There's a victory to win. And there's a crown in heaven waiting for you and me. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? What bothers me is there are cults that are more zealous about spreading a false gospel than Christians spreading the true gospel. Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons will go door to door. Door to door. Door to door. Telling people that Jesus Christ is not God manifested in the flesh, whenever the average person that calls himself a Christian today won't even get out of bed to go to church. God help us. God help us. There's cowards. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1. We begin reading in verse 1. While you're turning there, understand that Paul is writing this final epistle to Timothy. Paul is about to lose his head for his faith in Jesus Christ. And this is one of the last epistles he writes. And he writes it to Timothy. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience and without ceasing, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, unmovable faith, that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. That's what I'm calling y'all to do. I'm trying to stir up the gift of God that's in you so that we can get on the front lines and fight for truth. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. Don't be a coward. But of power and love, and a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. God has a purpose for you. As sure as he bestowed grace upon you, he has a purpose for you. And you're commissioned as a church to preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? Which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. He was suffering in prison. He said, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep which I have committed unto him against that day. That is total confidence in his God. That is total confidence in his Savior. That is total confidence in his personal salvation. And that is what you've got to have today. You've got to have total confidence in your God. You've got to have total assurance of your salvation. And you have to have total assurance that God can do it. Amen. Hold fast to the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me. There are cowards out there, of whom Phygellus and Hermogenes, he called them by name. The folks who turned away, the cowards who left the fight, the folks who went the ways of the world and backslid, they were cowards. I vow to take a stand for truth, and I'm not going to bend to this woke agenda. I'm not going to go by the ways of this world and give them an inch, because if you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And that was one of the questions asked during question and answer night. Are you going to take a stand and not compromise on this woke agenda? And I vow that I will not compromise on this woke agenda. But are you committed to stand with me as I take that stand? Amen. Amen. There is a victory. There is a victory to win. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel again, back to chapter 17. There is a victory to win. 1 Samuel 17, we'll begin reading in verse 30. 1 Samuel 17:30. And he turned from him toward another, and stand after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for them. And David said, Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Don't be discouraged because of him. There's a devil out there. Don't be discouraged because of that devil. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, but he a man of war from his youth. So he's saying, kind of hypocritical if you think about it, he said, you can't fight this man because you're a youth, but he fought since he was a youth. You can't get experience without doing it, right? And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. David, he brings up past victories that the Lord got him through. The Lord got you through past victories. He's got you from victory to victory to victory. And whatever is discouraging you today, he will get you through whatever you are going through today. Don't listen to the lie of the devil. Don't listen to him and let him tell you you are finished. God's not done with you. And Saul armed David with his armor. With his armor. And he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also, he armored him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. And David put them off him. You know, the world tries to equip us with their tools. Why don't you try this philosophy book? Why don't you try this new watered-down perversion of the Bible? But David said, I don't want those tools. I want what's tried and true. And David, and he looked, and he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. You understand that a lot of people were probably laughing at him. A lot of people were probably laughing at David as he came with what was tried and true in his life. We got a King James Bible that's tried and true, and people laugh at this Bible. People mock and say, well, you got a Bible in English, don't you? Why have a butter knife when you got a sword? Amen? Amen. It's tried and true, amen? And he took his staff in his hand and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistines. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And the Philistine looked about and saw David, and he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said unto David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. And David then said David to the Philistine, thou art come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Amen. God's on your side. Amen. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defilest. He said, look who you're making mad, whom thou defilest. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. And I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth. And all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and with spear. For the battle is the Lord's. The battle is the Lord's. Amen. And he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag. And he took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead. And the stone sunk into his forehead. And he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. David said, I'm going to cut your head off, and he didn't even have a sword yet. And let me tell you something, we have a stone on our side, the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Therefore, David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines until thou come unto the valley and to the gates of Ekron, and wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way of Shaaraim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. Notice that whenever the champion was dead, the people pursued the Philistines. They were no longer cowards anymore. And whenever somebody sees the victory in your life that Christ gives in your life, that will give them the boldness to carry on in the fight too. And maybe that's all they need to see is some victory in your life. And not be afraid of the devil. And know and understand who is on your side. He's got you through past victories and he can get you through this time too. So are you on the winning side? Are you saved today? Are you in the battle? If you are. Or are you in the valley of spiritual defeat? Is your armor on? Turn with me to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In the power of His might. Not your might, His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. He's trying to throw them fiery darts today, ain't he? And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always and with all power. Praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let me ask you a question. Is your armor on? Are you in the fight? Do you have your boldness for the Lord? Or are you cowering in the trenches? If you don't, why don't you come to this altar and put your armor on? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for loving us. And I just ask that you bless the message. Help us to be good ground. If there's one here that doesn't know you, I pray that today can be the day of salvation. And if there's one here that does not have their armor on, if they're afraid, give them the strength and the courage to stay in the fight. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you come today? Has the Lord spoken to your heart?